You are not broken. Lean into it, because the Lord is faithful, and a calling that hasn't been tested can't be trusted. But know that the test that you're going through is simply a season.
This is the Kingdom Builders Academy podcast with tips, tools, and biblical truth to build your brand, business, or ministry. If you're a Christian speaker, writer, coach, or entrepreneur, this is the podcast you've been praying for. Get ready to increase your impact, income, and influence. Here are your hosts, the mother, her son, and his wife, doing business, ministry, and life to shape the culture for Christ. Tamara Lowe, Zach Lowe, and Jillian Lowe. Let's go.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Kingdom Builders Academy podcast. We are super excited to have a special guest in the house who is a friend, who is an entrepreneur, who is a man of God. And you guys may or may not know this about me, but I do love me some health expertise and some health training and health wisdom and knowledge. And I've come across so many different experts in my lifetime. And I've got to say, Justin is absolutely at the top of my list. He is one of my absolute favorites, a brilliant guy, a great man, a great friend. So we're really excited to have Justin Roethlingshofer in the house. He is on the road, and we're going to do something fun today that I think is really great to be able to bring to the KBA Kingdom Entrepreneur audience. Is we're going to be able to hit on two things. We're going to be able to talk a little bit about Justin's entrepreneur journey and what Justin's doing to build a powerful business that has an amazing impact. And we're also going to get into some of the health wisdom and health knowledge and health insights that we want Justin to bring to you, because to be a powerful entrepreneur, to be a leader, to have longevity, you've got to have health. You've got to have energy. You've got to be able to rise to the occasion. And like Jillian was talking about before we started recording today, face the battles and face the giants and go through those seasons. And it helps to have a strong body and even a strong mind, which I know Justin talks about a lot. So Justin, it's so great to have you here. I want to just pass it over to you and invite you to tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your journey and how you got to where you are today.
Guys, it's so good to be here. I just love being in environments like this, because I speak in faith-based sectors, and then I speak in secular sectors. And just when you're in the faith-based sector, even Jillian and Zach, as you guys were talking, I'm like, man, this hasn't even started. I'm just trying not to start weeping here. So I'm a crier, but it's just been an amazing journey, and just so humbled that you brought me in front of your crew and in front of your community, that I can be able to hopefully pour into and give some wisdom that will serve people in a powerful way for people to step into their God-given gifting and their God-given calling and continue to just drive them forward in that way.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, I've been doing a little bit of homework on our dear friend. So, honey, I want to just kind of set the stage for Justin a little bit here. And him and his wife, Elise, who is the CEO and co-founder of Own It. Do I have that correct, friend?
Nailed
okay.
It.
How long have you been married, you and Elise, Justin?
Elise and I just passed 2 years of marriage. And believe it or not, like, just the story of how we came together is a God story. I was in Anaheim, California, in the National Hockey League at the time as a health and performance director. And Elise was living the life up in New York City as a vice president of Christian Louboutin. And we met on a two-day passing over weekend in Naples, Florida, where the average age is about 68 years old. And if you're not there retired, then there's no reason to be in Naples, Florida. But we met there and immediately it was love at first sight for me. It was love developed over time for Elise.
I love it.
But it was literally just a part of God's blessing and a part of his plan, as Elise's business savvy and my passion for and knowledge in the health and wellness space really kind of came together, and has just created a very unique company that is really changing and revolutionizing the health and wellness space, which I'm sure we're going to get into in a multitude of ways. Yeah. But that's really just goes back to a little bit of our relationship.
Yeah.
So Justin, can you give us just a tiny little 1-minute snapshot of what you were doing in your life before you graduated and made this pivot, because there is a Lululemon headquarters story that I love so much. And I only recently learned, and I was a little like, oh, my butt cheeks are squeezing together, that I do want you to share, because I think it's going to speak to our entire audience. And I think it's good that you're so honest and authentic. But first, can you just give us a 1 minute rundown of where were you at in life? What were you achieving? What were you doing? And then the moment that you decided to make that pivot.
Yeah, I'll give you I'll narrow this as quick as I can. So there was, grew up in a Christian home, a viciously praying mother that was praying for me before I was born. And at 11 years old, I heard from the Lord, you're going to redeem the health of the world. And for me, that thought was, oh, doctor, medical profession, hospitals, traveling, curing cancer. That's what comes to my mind. And being born in Canada, playing hockey is almost like a rite of passage. And so I always saw myself as getting to the NHL as an NHL player. And so was gifted, was talented. At 18 years old, came to the States on a hockey scholarship, got two undergraduate degrees, exercise science, nutrition. From there, went and got my master's degree. From there, did postgraduate doctoral research in heart rate variability and sleep, and then stepped into the National Hockey League as a health and performance director, and was there for just shy of 6 years. And I started to just feel this pull from the Lord. And even though I was having massive success, even though we were changing the way an entire institution did health and wellness, I wasn't really doing it for myself. And I remember in 2019, I just had stopped feeling well, had been pushing so hard, had been stressing so hard in a high stress environment that I wasn't sleeping, couldn't eat anything, brain fog, the energy was all like passing, all while looking extremely healthy. And I went and got a colonoscopy and an endoscopy. I had an ulcer the size of a quarter, all precancerous, and 4 polyps in my colon, the size of my thumb, also precancerous.
Oh,
and the
doctor
said to me, he said, man, if we hadn't done this, you would not have seen your 35th birthday. And
no way.
And that to me was that calling card moment where I just got quiet and still with the Lord. And he said, at what point are you going to stop serving the audience you want to and start serving the audience that I called you to?
Wow.
And I left the league in 2020. And going back to now this story you were speaking about, I wrote this book, and the book was called Blueprint. And I was like, this is going to be my moment. This is going to be what the Lord called me to. This is going to be where I'm ultimately stepping into. This is going to be that like coming out party that the Lord has prepared me for. And I had a lot of sponsors come. I was in New York City. I'd moved from Anaheim out to New York with Elise, and rented out Lululemon headquarters, their HQ right on Broadway, and had all of my sponsors there, had some video people there, had picture people there, had the room all beautifully set up. We sent out RSVPs. There was about 42 people that RSVP'd yes. So we're like, okay, this is going to be good. Well, it was supposed to kick off at 7 p.m. And 6:15 rolls around, 6:45 rolls around, 7 o'clock, 7:15. Nobody's there, like not a soul. Like, I can't even tell you, there wasn't even people like walking in to look at the clothes. There was nobody there. At 7:20, a homeless person walks in, and we give him 2 books, a granola bar, and a Gatorade, and send him on his way. And everybody keeps looking at me, and my stomach is just slowly getting knottier and knottier.
I can't even imagine that feeling.
And it got to 7:40, and I looked at everybody. I said, well, I guess we better start. And they said, better start? There's nobody here. And I said, well, we got everybody here. I might as well get the content. So I went, and oh, this is the other thing I forgot. I also brought in 2 people to like guest speak. So Dr. Pat Davidson, who's big name in the health and wellness space, and then one of my publishers. And so I had people like, I brought people in for this. There's not a soul there. So I'm at the front and I'm delivering this, one step away from like just bawling. And I deliver this talk and go through this just as if the room was full. And at the very end, I finish and I said, mark my words, there will be a day where this room cannot hold this amount of people. And the camera guy goes, yeah, sure. good luck though, and walked out. And that was just this gut-wrenching gut punch. And
but, you know, I just wanted to interject there for a moment as I was reading your story about how you said, you know, I had a decision to make.
Yeah.
And that valley of decision that you were pushed into, number one, you had planned, you had prepared, you had heard from God, you were leaning in, you gave your best yes efforts, Justin. You showed up, you had the snacks, you had the fanfare, the sponsors. You're in New York City at Lululemon headquarters. Hello. And no one shows. And I was reading how you said, in that moment, feeling humiliated, right? I mean, I'm just thinking like, I would have been sobbing. I would have been sobbing. I would have just said, I would have been on an apology tour. I'm so sorry. I'm just so sorry. I would have been apologizing to the homeless guy. But you, in that moment, it was interesting because you had this moment with the Lord where he was really saying, but who's defining this journey? Who's defining your calling? Who's defining your destiny? I called you. You knew you had a calling. And Justin, I paused there for a moment because there are so many people watching and listening that could say, me too.
Yeah.
Me too. I know I've been called to help people whose marriages are in crisis. I know I've been called to help people whose finances are just in turmoil. I know I've been been called to help people who are in serious stages of grief. And you know what they do? You know that saying, if you built it, they will come. And you built it, kind of, you know what I mean? You built it, you showed up, and no one came. And in that moment, you could have just folded up shop and said, I didn't hear from God. I missed it. Something's wrong. This wasn't meant to be. I've made a mistake. And you could have just like stifled everything, made a pivot and done something totally different and missed what God had for you. And so I love that story and I want you to continue it, but I just wanted to share and stop because it made such an impact on me. Sometimes people will not show. Sometimes you have a launch or you write a book or you do something and there aren't people standing and cheering and applauding and clapping and begging for more. Sometimes it's a homeless guy with a Gatorade who walks out the door and nobody's in the room at all. And not only that, but you had the naysayers and the doubters, Justin.
Yeah.
The people that were in the room that were like, oh, geez, this guy. I mean, you had minus support. But in the valley of decision, you sided with God. And I believe by allowing him to be the one who had the final say, he was the ultimate sponsor in the room that day, my friend. He was the ultimate sponsor. And what you did with that moment, it was like, it wasn't just that moment, but it was everything that that moment was going to touch to lead you to today. So I only pause there just to encourage those of you who are watching and listening that, hey, if you get met with a Lululemon moment, you better start making some lemonade quick because God has still called you. He's the one who has equipped you. And that day, Justin, you had an audience of one, but it was the most important audience in the room. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm all fired up about this story.
It's awesome, Jillian. It's absolutely awesome because the part that a lot of the story that people don't hear is what happened the next 8 months after that. A lot of people think, oh my gosh, you took a stand, you did what you were supposed to do, you had that audience of one, you poured in and you delivered the message. But the 8 months after that, friends, it was dark. It was a dark place. COVID hit. My wife and I came down to Naples where we met. And I'm going to lead on to this is a calling that isn't tested is a calling that can't be trusted.
Wow.
And the Lord ultimately continued to test me. He tested me that day. He tested me that moment. And he tested me for the next 8 months. And the thing about that was it was a valley. It was dark. And I'm sitting here going, I left the NHL. I left everything, all the accolades, all the my community, the place that I felt safe and known, and that's where my identity was. I went through that time of being ill and being sick and now coming out of it. I delivered this message, and now for 8 months, I don't have a job. I can't find my purpose. I can't find how I'm helping people. We're now in COVID where people have zero disposable income or they don't want to spend anything on their health. I don't even know what I'm selling or producing or providing anymore. And I was just an angry person. I was angry. I was bitter. And I still remember the day. It was July, and my wife had just put up with a lot. And I had come back from a workout, and she goes, "Justin, you're just so angry. Why don't you just go sit in a kayak and be with God?" I said, "I don't need to go and be in a kayak with God. I need to figure out what I'm doing." And she goes, "No, why don't you just go sit in the kayak with the Lord?" And so begrudgingly, I went and grabbed the kayak. I pulled it out across the sand, and then I got in and I started to paddle. And typically when I'm down by myself, I am on my phone. It distracts me. And in this moment, I kept my phone in my pocket and I started to kayak. And I can't describe it any other than seeing like a blanket sheet of glass in front of me with a bullet hole in the middle with one beam of light shining through it. And as I'm sitting there, I lean in, like I physically lean toward the front of the kayak, and it was like it's spiderwebbed. And all of a sudden down came that sheet of glass, and I just got this massive download. I had clarity that I had never had before. And I grabbed my phone and I started typing. Started typing. I was out there for almost 2 hours.
What?
I came back sunburnt, by the way, sunburned and dehydrated. But I came back into the room. I went back. I closed the door. I copied and pasted everything I had. I sent it to myself in a Word doc. I printed it off. It was 22 pages long, and it was the manifesto for what is now Own It. And obviously, we're on iteration like 15 now. However, that's where it started, and that was the moment. And it was that time in the wilderness. It was that time in the darkness. It was that time in the desert that the Lord was like, "Am I still good? Are you still trusting me? Are you still leaning into what I'm asking? Are you still convicted on what you're in? Or is it just out of convenience that this is what you want to do and that you're listening?" But no, it's rather, how are you taking what he's promised you? How are you taking the words that he's told you? How are you taking these things that you've leaned into and said, "This is truth. This is a promise. This is what I'm leaning on. This is where I'm staying, even when there's no water, even when there's no sun, even when there's no light. And I'm going to stay on it because I know that this is the bedrock and the foundation that the Lord has promised. And I'm here ultimately to be the miracle for somebody else at a certain point, but he has to make sure that the calling of which he's put on me can be trusted with the health, with the wellness of these people, of his children. And in order to do that, there's a testing period that has to happen. And I just hope that that's a word for somebody out there who has a calling, who has a promise, who's heard from the Lord, who knows that they have something that they need to open up and give to people, but they're struggling with what this looks like. They're struggling with where they need to go. They're struggling with this. There's an opposition. There's a holding. And here's the thing. You know how much the Lord loves you, but you sometimes underestimate how much the devil doesn't want that to happen. As if you believe in good, you have to believe in evil. And that is always at play. And so as you're leaning in and you know this, continue to stay true, continue to stay focused on his calling for you, because at the end of the day, that is the truth. And that will get you ultimately the freedom and the push forth and the steadfast and the willingness to wait for what it is that he's ultimately already declared truth.
Wow. So good. So good, Justin. Amen. Amen. And you can see it in the chat that your testimony and the lessons from it just resonate so much. And before we pivot to kind of some of the health stuff, I just want to highlight that the time and the testing, you know, you've got to go through the time and the testing. And it sounds like a couple of years that it took to kind of go through that valley to get that breakthrough. And I just want to encourage everybody here who's 6 months in, 12 months in, 18 months in to your entrepreneurial journey that, hey, some people take off like a rocket ship really fast. Other people, like Justin, for example, you know, it takes time and it takes testing. And now Justin is a super successful 7-figure entrepreneur, traveling, speaking, audiences, growing, building, and excelling in his calling, in his entrepreneurial journey. But it wasn't without going through the time and the testing. And we're honored and blessed that you took that time, that you fought through that, and that you had a woman like Elise at your side to help give you wisdom and help give you encouragement and help build this thing with you. So we love you and your story. I want to jump into some health stuff, Justin. If you only had a few minutes to redeem somebody's health, what would you say to them? You know, this is a...
Before he says it, I just want to say one thing. My summation in my mind of what Justin and Elise do, this is just like as a lay person, right? And this is how I view them, is that they believe that there is a better way to better health that does not have to be super complicated and unattainable. So that, just so you know, Justin, my impression and my understanding and my experience is that Own It is believes that there is a better way to better health, and it doesn't have to be complicated. And I think that this company and what you guys stand for, and I'm excited for you to share about it. Man, if there is anything I think that stresses people out and overwhelms them more, is the idea of a health journey. And so I'm really excited, because I feel like it oftentimes feels too complicated and unattainable. And I think that's why a lot of people just go, you know, I started with vim and vigor. I had a lot of enthusiasm and hope, but it was just too much. So sorry, honey. I'm so excited.
It's so good. And here's the thing. When we think about what our mission is, it's to redeem the health of the world through educating, empowering, and equipping people to take ownership of their health in a personalized way. And I say ownership of your health because for a long time, the argument has been, oh, well, the medical system's broken. I actually don't think the medical system's broken. I think it does exactly what it was designed to do. Fix things that are broken, a broken bone, an appendix that's about to burst. They know how to fix those things. Fix things that are broken and make money. Those are the two things that it's been designed to do, and it does both of them very well. However, what we want it to do is prevent illness, maintain our health, be proactive in these areas. But that's not the medical system's job. It's our job. But we've given the power away. We've given the responsibility away because we haven't sought wisdom. And at the end of the day, if you go back to James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. And so if we lean back on that promise, wisdom is freedom. And we don't know enough about ourselves. We don't know enough about our bodies. We don't know enough about these things. And then you look at how the world functions, and all of a sudden, it's like, oh, you've got health expert A that says one thing, and then you've got health expert B that says a completely different thing. And then you've got these conflicting messages. We've got more knowledge than ever before. We've got more access to ever before, but we're sicker than ever before. And the reason that is because we're ultimately trying to do things the way the world tells us. And back to Romans 12, 1 and 2, is do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the last part of verse 1 is, this is your true and proper worship, making sure that you're living and making sure your body is a living sacrifice. And so coming back to this, you can't do what the world's telling you. And the conversation, the argument that's out there is keto better, is paleo better, is high intensity better, is low intensity better, is strength training or cardio or meditation or breath work. It's like exhausting to try to figure this out. And the answer and the real question we should be asking isn't what's better, but it should be, what is better for me? Mm-hmm. What is better for me today? What is better for me for the season that I'm in? What is better for me for the purpose that I'm ultimately called to? What is better for me for what my priorities are today? And so it's not what is better. That's not what we're looking for. It's what's best for me. What's better for my uniqueness? We're unique down to a fingerprint, but yet the solutions in health and wellness thus far have been all generalized. So it's not about what is best, but what is best for you. And if we can help empower you to understand your data, to understand your body, to understand your information, it's at that point that you can ultimately know what you need to do in a more powerful way, because you have wisdom in that. The world tells us what to know, what to do, what to take action on. But when you know something, you still need to be convinced that it's something that's going to work for you. And then even worse is that the longer that you do it and it doesn't work, that convincing of doing something else is even harder. Mm. If I can take you from a state of knowing what to do to a state of understanding your body better, a state of understanding what to do, it's that point that you go from needing to be convinced to now being convicted. Convicted, wow, that this is what the Lord has called me to. Convicted that this is my pathway forward. Convicted that this is my freedom state. Convicted that this is going to allow me to live life differently. And that's what we ultimately seek for people, is taking them from a state of knowing to understanding, normal to different,
And that's the power and passion that ultimately comes through.
So good. So good, Justin. I love that point I always talk about, public policy versus personal policy. You know, we want public policy sometimes to save us. We want the health system to save us. We want the government to save us. But that's not taking ownership. That's delegating responsibility, your responsibility, to somebody else. And you got to have a personal policy and lean into that before you can lean into or rely on a public policy. So, you talk about, some really interesting things. You got your doctoral studies in HRV. You talk about the personalization, cellular health. Is there anything that you like to kind of dive into that somebody can take that first step of ownership and figuring out, their kind of personal season and personal steps that they can do if somebody who is inspired today, like, hey, I do need to take ownership of my health. What's a step that they can start taking today?
Yeah, I define ownership as the intersection point between accountability and responsibility. So many people want to do one or the other. They're going to lean all in on responsibility, but they won't set the accountability structures up, and thus it fails. They all set all the accountability structures up, but they're not willing to take responsibility. There's always an excuse, so thus it fails. It's the intersection point that ultimately wins. And where I say people need to start in this, in understanding metrics to take two or three steps forward and feel more empowered in their journey, is number one, heart rate variability. And why I lean on heart rate variability so much is that, number one, it's easy to have access to. If you have a Whoop band, if you have an Oura Ring, if you have an Apple Watch, if you have a Fitbit, if you have any of these things, it's tracking HRV. Now, what the companies of these areas will do is they'll give you algorithms, readiness scores, recovery scores, regeneration scores, throw them out, get rid of them. Because again, it adds to the complexity, it adds to the confusion. But if you understand, if you have a higher HRV, it means your body is adapting to stress and strain in your life really positively. Versus if you have a lower HRV, it's an alert system going, hey, Jillian, or hey, Zach, or hey, Justin, I'm not adapting to stress very well. I'm over and inundated with stress, mental, physical, spiritual, emotional. Your body doesn't know the difference between these stressors. And thus, you're starting to overflow, and you actually need to give yourself a gap. You need to give yourself some space. You need to give yourself some time. You need to start to reflect on what are you doing day in and day out that maybe isn't allowing you to get that rest and recovery back so you can show up with greater capacity. So HRV becomes this overarching metric, understanding holistically how your body is adapting to stress and strain. And the better that we understand that, the better we can see that, the more clarity we have, the more ownership and empowered you can feel, because you're not shooting for perfection. If you all of a sudden see a lower and a drop in HRV, I'll give you a perfect example for myself, is I did four podcasts in Vegas on Friday night. I flew on a red eye home Saturday, ultimately to have my men's group at my house on Saturday morning. Then Saturday afternoon, we hosted a dinner at our home. And then Sunday, we had church in the morning. And then Elise's parents were with us Sunday night, only before flying out early Monday morning here to Arizona. Well, all of these stressors, that's not me working out. That's not me running marathons. That's not me doing things physically. That's mental, emotional, and spiritual stressors that I'm hosting, that I have people in my space, that I'm making sure are coming to Jesus. In my men's group, there was people that we had to break spiritual strongholds. These are things that I'm taking on stress-wise. And stress is not a bad thing. Friends, we need stress in order to grow. We need stress in order to be resilient. But as long as there's stress in our life, you want to build a family, you want to have a deep relationship with Jesus, you want to build a business, you want to do anything, stress is needed. Stress is necessary. But to live here powerfully, you have to make sure that what you're doing in this lower quadrant, what I call a regeneration or rest and recovery quadrant, has a proper rhythm. And without intentional and consistent behaviors and habits that are built around what your body needs, nobody else's, you will never be able to reach and realize the potential in which God has called you to. Because this is a word, write this down. What you're praying for holds a candle to what the Lord has prepared for you. But what you're praying for is not near ready for what you're prepared for. So at the end of the day, what God's called you to is far greater than what you're praying for, but what you're praying for, you're not prepared for. So you have to prepare yourself to ultimately step into his calling. You have to prepare yourself to have the capacity, because he cannot give you everything you're praying for today, because it would crush you. And at the end of the day, he's just not willing to do that. He wants his children to thrive. He wants his children to be abundant, but you have to go through tunnels. You have to look in the mirror and say, what do I have to do differently? How do I have to live differently from what the world has told me? How do I have to do things differently from what is normal in my life? Because what is normal is not what I'm called to. I'm called to be different. I'm called to elevate. I'm called to step up. I'm called to take on great things, because there's people that are requiring my giftings, my talents, my experiences. But in order to get there, I have to prepare myself differently. And how do we do that? We don't seek a person, place, or thing. We seek wisdom from God. And God has given our bodies uniquenesses in how to display what it is we need. And for the first time ever, we have a single quantifiable metric that says, hey, you're doing a great job. You're moving in the right direction. Or, hey, you know what? I need you to do things a little bit differently. And so at that point, it gives you empowerment, and it gives you this connection back to what the Lord is asking, back to what he's calling you to, back to how you can have a capacity to carry people through, to do exactly what he's created you for. Because remember, a calling that hasn't been tested is a calling that can't be trusted. And these testings are simply building capacity, but you have to recover from them.
Wow. Wow. Amen. What a powerful message. And what a mindset shift I think that is, that stress is necessary. You know, we want to monitor the stress, and what an incredible tool this HRV metric to be able to see when the stress levels are spiking. But to accept, hey, in order to grow, right? Like, you're a muscle guy. Like, in order to build muscle, the muscles have to be broken down. They have to tear, and then they have to recover. I want to just ask you one more thing before we tell people about your book, which I'm really excited about, The Power of Ownership. But one more thing, just to kind of, you know, go full circle in this conversation, just on this, like, one little tool of HRV and accepting that stress is necessary. When you see that in your life, Justin, that, you know, HRV is dropping from where it should be, that you've been on a, you know, 5-day grind. Will you just talk a little bit about recovery? Because I think if we can accept that, like, hey, we're not ready, we've got to be pushed, we've got to be stretched, that's going to mean we're going to be stressed. But what do we do then once we've, you know, pushed ourselves to the limit and there does need to be a recovery in the cycle?
It's a great question, Zach. And I'll get very practical and applicable for you here in the next couple minutes. So I'm very disciplined in my day, and my day exists. I wake up in the morning. I actually don't spend my first hours of the day with the Lord. I actually go and I get into the gym and I start working out, or I start running, and I don't listen to anything other than either gospel music or silence. And as I'm in that space, I just have conversations with God, and I'm not necessarily listening at this point. I'm just kind of talking and going through things. At the end of this, I spend about 30 minutes in the sauna, and that's when I start getting into the Bible. That's where I get into the Word. That's where I start to just get full again. And then I'll go about my day, and I'll do everything that whatever my day has brought. But I will diligently, I've got an alarm set at noon and an alarm set at 5:30, where I have a 5-minute segment, and I ask the Lord one question: what is it that you want me to hear? What is it that you want me to know? And that's what, and I just sit and I'm quiet for 5 minutes. So that's what I do day in and day out to allow myself, again, a routine and a rhythm. Mm. However, in a season just like I am now, I got up this morning, stayed on the Eastern time zone, even though I'm on Pacific time. I got my routine in the same thing, but I can tell that I'm a little bit fatigued. Go fatigued going into leading a group of 35 over the next couple of days. So what I've deliberately done this afternoon is I've given myself an hour where I'm going to go sit up in the mountains, and I'm just going to talk to the Lord. Just going to talk to the Lord, and I'm going to give myself a moment just to completely disconnect, completely regenerate. I'm probably going to do some breath work to begin that, because I believe breath work is that direct antenna back to the Lord so that I can ultimately hear and be still. I have an acronym: slow is smooth and smooth is fast. Slow, standing for stillness, silence, surrender, gives you the chance to listen. So that you have the opportunity to be obedient, to gain wisdom, to do his will. And so if I can be slow, that's what I continue to come back to. Anytime that I see a downward trend in HRV, it just means that I'm running too fast. It just means that I'm ahead of his plan. It just means that I'm outdoing and outshooting my skis. And so it literally becomes that mechanism of awareness. And awareness is the biggest thing that we lack oftentimes. It says awareness in the Bible so often is the thing we need to gain in order to institute new wisdom, in order to realize different outcomes. And so for me, having that tool of HRV to say, hey, you're running. Hey, you're too fast. Hey, slow down. It gives me that kind of yellow light to go, oh yeah, what does this look like? And it may not be breathwork for you. It may not be the sauna for you. It may not be up in the wilderness for you. It may be something completely different. And that's why the argument of what's happening in the world is not for everyone. It's not for you. It's not for the believer. Why? It's because you have a different calling on your life and you have the antenna to the ultimate creator, the ultimate expert in the Lord, and he will let you know where to go. He will guide your path. He will give you the wisdom in where to go. And the moment that we can get really still, and that's always, the HRV literally comes back to this, is it's my slowing down or my stillness mechanism. And what tool, what modality do I want to use to do that? It doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. What do you do that slows you down, that gets you into that space, that allows for that rest, rejuvenation, and recovery so that you can, again, now be filled up so you can go pour all your oil out on everybody else again? And that is the biggest thing that we ultimately need to lean back on. And that's how I utilize it in a very practical and applicable way so that we can move forward.
Wow. So good, Justin. I'm blessed by having you here. Our people are blessed listening, as you can see, those attending live in the chat. What awesome tools, what amazing mindset shifts, what amazing knowledge. Let's give the people one more tool. Will you talk about the Power of Ownership book? I'm just going to drop it in the chat for our live attendees, thepowerofownershipbook.com. I've pre-ordered my copy, but just tell us a little bit about the book, why you wrote it, and what people can get from it.
Yeah, so I'm actually going to tell a little story, and I might even start crying as I tell this story, because 5 days before my editorial deadline, I finished the book. I was so excited. I was like, yes, 6 months of like just preparation and pouring in and writing. I was like, it's done. I went to bed that night so satisfied. My wife and I celebrated. We were so excited. And in the middle of the night, I woke up and I just had this overwhelming voice in my head saying, that's not the book I told you to write. And I woke up in the morning and I said, nah, that didn't happen. That's not
true. No way.
That's not true. And then in my quiet time, I heard it again. That's not the book I told you to write.
Oh, my gosh.
And I said, and there was a big, Jillian, I wrote the email, Zach, I had the email prepared. All I had to do was hit send. And I sat down at my computer and I had my finger over the mouse and I contemplated, I'm just going to hit send. I'm just going to submit it. I'm just going to do it. And I couldn't. And I had this, and all of a sudden my shock turned to anger. Like, what are you talking about? Like, how am I supposed to rewrite a book in 4 days now? But I knew it wasn't the book I was supposed to write. I knew I had wrote the book I wanted to write and not the book that the Lord had called me to. And so I went to bed again that night at 11:45. I woke up and I went to the computer and I printed off the entire book. We have this 12x10 table in our kitchen, and I put every chapter out on this table. And I started to go to work. I started to cut and paste and rip pages out and cut stories out and put sticky notes all over everything. My wife got up at 8 a.m. This guy's just like bloodshot eyes and sitting there at the table. She's like, what are you doing? I was like, do not open a door. Do not let any wind blow, because all of these pages is going to throw all this stuff and I won't know where anything is. 66 hours later. And for everybody out there, 66, we know like the number of six is evil. I think that the Lord did that on purpose. 66 to show Satan he has no power here. 66 hours later, I have a brand new manuscript, something that is completely different, something that is different story, something that has different wordings. Everything just fit into place. And I finished, and I literally get goosebumps saying this, but I was like, it is finished. It is done. This is it. And all I heard was, well done. Well done. And I submitted that thing, and it has just been such a cool experience to see what this does, because this resource
This resource is not a book that you're going to read and go, wow, that was amazing. There's a lot of great information here for me. This book is going to be a tool that you come back to over and over and over and over again, because it's going to guide you in the direction. It's going to guide you in the way in which you need to go. You're going to read it over and over again, and there's going to be new things that jump out at you. There's going to be different seasons that you're in that you ultimately go through this tool book or this book that's a toolbox for you, and you're going to create a plan. You're going to leave with a personalized plan as to what this looks like at the end. And then 6 months later, you're going to come back and create something completely new and different because you're in a different season. You have different stressors. You have a different priority. You have a different reason for wanting to lean in. And that's what this book is meant to do. That is what this book is meant to operate as. And as funny as the Lord works, with everything that I changed and everything that I did, he not only had me write one book, but he also finished my second one in that same time. And so we've got a devotional that will be following this in about 4 months that's just getting completed, but just super, super excited for this book, The Power of Ownership, because I think it is the word that the world needs to hear right now. It's something different. It's something unique. It's something that nobody is talking about. And it's just got the Lord's vision, the Lord's anointing, and the Lord's guidance all over it. And I just couldn't be more appreciative.
Wow. Wow. I love it. I love it, Justin. That is
a story.
Yeah. Oh. So exciting. Honey, I'll leave you with the last word. Let me just drop it again for everybody. It's thepowerofownershipbook.com. Is that right, Justin?
That is correct.
Yeah. So it's a
book.com.
It's a pre-order at this point, but it's going to be good.
Yeah, I can't wait to read it and to see the devotional that comes out next, Justin. I wanted to ask you to actually have the last word. I want you to think for a moment, Justin, and partner with the Lord on this, okay? I would like you to give some advice to everyone who is watching and listening today. And I don't want to guide you too much, but if you could just take a moment. And I want you to just, if you had one piece of advice for entrepreneurs who are passionately pursuing what they believe that God has called them to in this season of their life, if you could only leave everyone here today and everyone listening with one piece of advice, what would you say to them?
It's so heavy on my heart, and I don't know who this is for. It might be for a multitude of people, but I want you to hear this. You're not broken. You might be up against a wall right now. You might be struggling. You might feel like, man, the Lord promised me this, but I haven't gotten there. I'm just feeling a wall that's not moving me forward. I feel like my health is failing me. I feel like I can't think properly. I can't sleep at night. My stress is just overtaking me. Why can't I figure this out? Why can't my body handle this? Why can't it do what it's meant to do? Why can't I push through? Why am I such a failure? Why can I not ultimately step into this? Why am I not good enough? Why am I not meant for this? You're not broken. You're not broken. You're exactly where you're meant to be. You're going through this for the exact reason, because your calling that you're under, your calling that's been placed on you, the calling that's been put on your heart, the thing that you are meant to ultimately step into is a calling that's currently being tested. And it's being tested so that it can be trusted with great things. It can be tested and trusted with abundant things. It can be tested and trusted with the other children of the Lord. And as you come up against this this adversity, as you come up against this opposition, love the journey. Love the journey. Love where you're going. Love the opportunity for service. Love the opportunity for this place, because you are not broken. The Lord doesn't create faulty things. The Lord doesn't give faulty messages. The Lord doesn't create broken things. None of us are broken. None of us are broken. Hear that. None of us are broken. There is no, there's nothing that the Lord has ever created that was wrong. And so as you come into this moment, as you come into this time, as you come into this place, I just pray that you see that you're not broken. I'm closing my eyes, and I literally see this shattered vase, this shattered vase sitting on the ground, and this shattered vase that is symbolism of somebody out there, somebody who's listening, who sees themselves as a shattered vase. As you've been trying, you've been pressing uphill, and you feel like everything has just fallen on top of you, I just am seeing this vase come back together, And when you've seen a shattered vase come back together, that shattered vase is even more inspirational, is even more motivational, is even more impactful, is even more guiding, because now it's whole. It's something that was was ultimately came across adversity, came across difficult times, and came back whole. And it's not just the calling that's on your life anymore. It's the ability to connect, the ability to connect with other people with whom your story is going to reside. The things that you've been through, the things that have crushed you, the things that have broke you down, but knowing that you're just bending, you're not breaking, because the Lord meant for you to bend but not break. He meant for you to bend so that you could rely on Him to get you out the other side, so that ultimately, as that vase or that vase comes back together again, it's meant to hold not a single rose, but a multitude, a massive bouquet that will be given to the earth, will be given to the society, will be given to culture, will be given to humanity to call and fulfill on the promise that you know is already in your heart, that you know is already in your heart, the calling that is there. And so that word is, you are not broken. Yeah. You are not broken. Lean into it, because the Lord is faithful. And a calling that hasn't been tested can't be trusted, but know that the test that you're going through is simply a season. Amen. So keep going.
Amen. Beautiful word. So powerful.
Amen. Well, thank you, Justin. It has been a privilege and a pleasure to have you. We are all feeling blessed and filled up and having our minds shifted. And I'm sure we're going to get our bodies moving after this, or at least just finding our version of rest and recovery, to slow down, to listen, to be obedient, to find that wisdom from the Lord. So you've blessed us so much, Justin. Again, you can go to powerofownershipbook.com to pre-order Justin's new book. It's going to be incredible. So God bless you, brother. Thanks so much for being here and bringing the fire today.
No, thank you so much, Jillian and Zach, for just opening up your community and your audience. I'm just so humbled by the opportunity to be able to pour into everybody. And I just love you guys. I know Elise feels the same way. So thank you, guys.
Yeah, we love you and Elise so much. God bless you. Thanks for being with us today.
Hi, this is Tamara Lowe, founder of Kingdom Builders Academy, here with a free gift for you, our loyal podcast listener. We're giving away free copies of my newest book, On Purpose, How to Find, Fund, and Fulfill Your Purpose. You can download your free copy right now at onpurposebook.com. That's www.onpurposebook.com. Thanks for tuning in to the Kingdom Builders Academy podcast today. Join us again for our next exciting episode.